else's world. They're only into their own world, which is Godhead backwards. They're a God into their own world, but all mixed up in the connecting with other people.
For me, that's like a higher dimension to the work of people like Leonardo or Cocteau.
Did you say besides, higher?
Well, this, like, besides the great art they were doing, they have this dimension of cultivating things for I and them.
Yes, yes. Well, this is what the Bible was about, and they studied the Bible, and then they found out what it meant. Like, we may be, all that we've said the last 8 years, this may be just the beginning. What we'll be saying in 10, 20 years could be something way fucking more phenomenal, you know? Ian told me something that's going to happen to me. I can't talk about it, but boy, if that happens, that'll be pretty fucking amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, like it's a wow.
It's intriguing.
Yeah, we were talking about something. Where is it, blah, blah, blah? And he goes, well, let's go to blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, what's going to happen? Well, it's going to be you. What? Me? Yeah, it's going to be
shocking.
You, Bob. It was
You're
shocking.
The one that's going to yada, yada, yada. Wow.
I don't know, I'm going to be the guy that heals Harvey Weinstein. I'm going to heal
Lucky.
Him. He's the Beast. You can't get a guy who looks more like the Beast. I mean, he's a Hollywood joke. He's what the Beast in Hollywood movies looks like. I mean, he really is the part, right?
He does have a thug persona when you look at his picture. He does look like a thug.
I think he looks like a catfish.
Yeah, and he's like James. Remember James Cagney would play the gangsters in the 20s or 30s in those movies?
Yes.
In jail, and he would be very defiant. That's the way fucking Weinstein. He's defiant like the James Cagney guy.
That's a little grandiose.
You know, many,
what do you mean?
Many are playing the victims, and I think many of these people working in Hollywood are really ready to do anything for fame. So it's like everybody knows these things happen, and that everybody knows the castings are not only done on the screen but also on the couch. It's like everybody
I've lived in LA
forever.
Most of the fucking people in LA are fucking nuts. Because they're there to become famous, and they're doing anything to become famous. I think Weinstein's probably right. It was all consent. All these kids, half of them try to get him to attack them so that they could sue or threaten and get some money. I mean, once you get to L.A., you kind of don't want to leave. You don't want to go back to your hometown and say, I went to Hollywood and fucking I blew it. No, I didn't become famous. So you stay there and suffer and waitress and do all this crap and do anything so that you can claim you did something.
Yes, and I suppose many people even offer themselves to these type of producers.
Right.
Like, they want to...
Yeah.
So.
It's also mixed up. And the great actors, so-called great actors like Meryl Streep and them, are like pretending they're totally not. I didn't know this was going on. Like, what are they? To be a good actor, you're going to be put in a bubble? They're MKUltra victims, right? They were put in a weird bubble. They can act like fucking idiots, whatever roles demanded, and they don't even know what's going on. No wonder Sam Shepard left them all. You remember Sam Shepard? He just died recently. He was a big actor at some point. You know, he played Alan Shepard or the other guy who died, one of the major astronauts, because he was the guy who broke the sound barrier. Yeah, it's Tom Wolfe's The Right Stuff. So he's a pilot, and he breaks the sound barrier. You know, he's like a Clint Eastwood All-American hero. And then they move him into the astronaut program, and then he's a major astronaut. And they encounter Wernher von Braun and the Nazi scientists. But a guy like that, he disappears. He goes and lives in Montana. He runs away from Hollywood. And he'd been around. He was on Dylan's tour or something. He lived with Patti Smith. A guy like that, sort of an old-fashioned poet, writer, they can't stand Hollywood. They get away from it.
Bob, can you unmute Nick? He's muted.
Oh, sorry. I haven't been looking at the people. I don't expect anybody's here. I just think I'm talking to myself, you know.
Used to be alone, you know.
Thanks, Bud. Thanks, Bob.
Look, it's always the same thing. You go back to see CKLN shows 30 years ago. I'm talking like to three people. It's always just a small group.
Hello, this is Bob's radio show.
It's just that we got
a disparate group of people, Bob.
Yeah,
you
like stragglers.
Talking
we're in
to
a bus
eternity.
Stop. Yeah, talking
yeah.
to eternity in a bus stop. It's the greatest movie, play, theater ever. The whole context is amazing. I have to remind everybody every week. So we could do a Don Thiel thing here, do the final part of the essay. But let me just bring up that and just want to see what Ion goes into. Do I have to play anything? Do I have to play anything? Do I have to? I thought I just manifested. Not working. Looks like you're going to have to bring up the sound flower.
It's not a thinking man's game, Bob.
Yeah, I thought I would just start talking. It didn't work. I'm even going to have to hit output. Output sound flower. Let's see if that works.
The chair at the same time.
Look, I had to take you down the dark hallway. You're taking it somewhere, aren't you? Is that JW? That's JW. He's all quiet.
Yeah.
Now, back to you, Ion. Where are you? You'll be watching.
I always say to everybody, Carol Gas, there's no goddamn gas. But where the hell did I get that idea? Mm. I must have experienced it. You hear a giggle. I don't hear a giggle, Sarah.
I don't hear anything now.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice. Wow, that was pretty good. That was JW sleeping. Now, here is Ion. You are the hologram, right? The forehead. We see
you. Well, what else are we, Bob? I go, you're a hologram, right? Are you a hologram? Yeah. You look like a hologram.
Wow.
Bob the yokel. I'm the dumb guy out in the wilderness. You know, the UFOs show up to the dumb guy in the country. That's me. I'm the yokel.
The hillbilly, eh?
Yeah.
Yep, the hillbilly Bob.
Hill Bobby.
Hill Bobby's life matters.
We're just seeing your forehead. Now, you are the hologram, correct?
Would they say about the forehead?
Correct.
Talking about.
You are the hologram, right? The forehead, we see you.
Right.
Put the camera down towards your face a little bit more. We're just seeing your forehead.
No.
Now, you are
the
hologram,
camera
is
on
correct?
His forehead, Bob.
Yeah, the shiny forehead.
It's not really right to say hologram. It's more right to say perception, a visual perception.
A simulation
what the fuck
of
is that? What's that mean? Does that mean I'm in my anomaly? It's not a hologram, but it's just your perception. You're in a fuck. You're on a drug, Bob. You're in a matrix or something. You know, what's it mean? It's more a perception, Bob. What does that mean? I'm experiencing a perception. No, Carol's rather quiet. I think Carol's stunned
here. There's first-person perspective, and then there's retrospective. So if you don't understand.
Yeah, very, very nicely said, Sarah.
Thanks.
Very nice.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Nice words, but it couldn't be more wrong. I love that line. Beautiful words, well said, but you couldn't be further from the truth. That's a great line.
You're a simulation.
It's what you can see.
You're a simulation. Well, it's what you can see. What am I? We're seeing what I can see, what Bob, so Carol can see what Bob can see. That's all it is. This is what Bob's seeing. Your words are ridiculous.
other people see this?
Right now?
Yeah, this body.
What's that? That's a weird...
See? He didn't fucking answer the key question. Can people see what we're seeing? Then he shows us the corridors.
Oh. Is that another world?
That's corridors that don't lead to here.
I don't know what I'm laughing. I sound like a fucking insane. Yeah, of course. Corridors that don't lead from here. What the fuck does that mean? How can you see corridors that don't lead from here? Where am I? And then it shows up in Twin Peaks. I tell you, the collective synchronicity and xenocracy I'm going through is a marvel to behold. It's all out in the open. We don't hide
it. Must be hell for you, Bob.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable. I contemplate suicide every 10 minutes. It's so painful. This whatever's
just to
going
be on.
On
the safe side.
Just not understand. I don't understand what's going on. I must know. I must understand. Why? No, Bob's the laziest guy. You have to realize. That's right. I'm the most brain-damaged guy. The big anomaly I had to Bob is the only guy who would be fucking indifferent to it. You heard Ion saying. He says that in the session we were playing. You know, Bob doesn't care. He just, yeah, he accepts whatever's going on. I got people divorcing me all the fucking time. You can't be fucking doing that. That you're fucking... Alex says, you and your little friend, Ion. Yeah, but I made up this little... It's a topa. It's a fucking monster. Nice monster that just sort of showed up to me. See, my little friend.
Nobody knows what you're going through, Bob.
I know. I know. The pain, the suffering. You think Harvey's got it bad? I'm hated by way more people than Harvey Weinstein.
But you said you're going to go and heal him and cure him and sort him out, Bob.
Yeah.
Heal him.
Tell us how that works, okay?
Yeah, when we give him some drops, he's going to go, holy fuck, I can feel my dick. I need to fuck somebody right now, Bob. My dick grew. Look how big it is. That's right. All right, let's go get somebody, Harvey. Down to local McDonald's. Let's go get your doctor.
Let's go show them something.
Let's go find Sarah. Bob. I'm going to get Sarah. That's
never. I am cloaked in the cloud of Zion.
Yes, Sarah's she's trying to cloak herself.
No, I previously came cloaked.
All right. Let's see what it says next.
Corridors that go. Awesome.
We have lots of them.
Those are corridors coming from other worlds?
They don't come from here.
And
you see? We don't get a straight answer. Do they come from other worlds? They don't come from here. That's not really... It's probably the right answer, but it sounds odd. I guess they don't come from here. Yeah, because they're not coming from here. They're
making us
from,
see
Bob?
This.
Yeah.
The slides.
Hey, I like that. When we see Ion, Ion goes, how do you see it non-physical? He raises that question again.
Yes.
You're altering our eyeballs.
No, it is.
You're making it show up in the camera.
It is.
Digitization doesn't lie.
Now, do you do this with word power or just think it and then it manifests?
We don't think. Here's the thing. In the day, you could think good thoughts, think some happy thoughts, blah, 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 but that day is the past, long past. Now you've moved everything to...
So what he's going to say now is what Croker's saying. There ain't no human sentimental dimension anymore. You can think good thoughts, have a good life. You can't now. You're being possessed by the digital chip landscape. I think that's what he says.
As you've abdicated your throne, you come into the place where you can't understand that you've got it. When you don't have it, you can't get it. You've got to find a way to figure out how the digitized body allows the digitization of reality. The reality isn't real until it's digitized. Now you can see it because it's digitally enhanced or enhanceable in the cloud that is the cloud that makes this knowing you can't argue with. Are you going to believe us, Bob, or those lying eyes of yours? Then what happens is you start to see visually from a new bias, a new space, that there are creases and folds of realities that move beyond the doorways and paths that you set. Those paths are not available always to those who are not sighted. Sightedness is the limitation. You see seeing as good. We see seeing as bad. Because those who can't see sometimes see. See?
So the digitization is more real than what we see.
It allows you to actually sometimes see for the very first time. Because now you can't argue with the digitized version because it is. You can fast forward it, move it back up, down, over, under, go through it, go past it. Rabbit in a stump conundrum. You've heard that, so you're tired of it. But now, because you haven't come into your place of power, and we're not fussing and we're not arguing, we're answering your question. Because humans have not successfully come into your place of power, you, humans, have made us non-physical stronger. Yeah. That's why you're having these shifts and these ridiculous, we think, conversations trying to calculate where you are in the process of where you are is because we are constantly getting stronger, getting larger, getting more vast, getting more, always more. And it's getting more for sure.
Yeah. Shit, man, that's 3 years ago. There's a huge pterodactyl now. So I got this idea. You know how Ian says, with your digital camera, it can see orbs. You know, people in their cameras see things that they didn't know were there because the digital doesn't block and it shows the mystery landscape. So I just realized that I'm inside a huge camera. I've been digitized. I'm seeing what digitization has caused, and that's why I can see and hear non-physical. I've become a digital camera and saw Ion, heard Ion.
Yeah.
But you can't see him all the time, Bob.
Well, so what?
Ion doesn't present himself right now. So it would be a lot more interesting if there was a hologram or whatever he wants to call himself in Maui, in your room right now, having a conversation.
He'd probably say, "We're always there, Bob. You just don't. Well, you're not ready to see us." That's what I'm saying.
You're using your eyes to look for Ion, and the only way he can reflect back at you is through this digital world, which he's now explained, which is through digitization doesn't lie. So if a blind person was sitting there and could sense, feel, whatever the words are for knowing that Ion is there, he would see that image of Ion, whatever it looks like, because he doesn't have the eyes to lie to him. He doesn't have the use of his lying eyes.
Yeah, I'm not allowed. I never wanted to see Ion. It wasn't like a big deal. It'd be nice to do it. Because remember the one time in the early points, I said, if I could see you, what would you look like? And he said, the million-year-old man in Doctor Who. That's what he said he'd look like, you know, whatever that thing is.
Did it change your perspective in any way, Bob?
Face of bone, yes, right.
What is it?
The face Did it change your perspective?
The face of bow.
Yeah, the face of Bob. Fucking
no way.
The face of a million-year-old Ophanel. It's me. He's fucking me. Now, some people say I created all this. Bruce Powell said that I created a tulpa. And then Tulpa becomes the big theme in the third season of Twin Peaks.
Mm.
So, okay, so I'm blocking. I know we can't show pictures of JW, so I block the seeing of them. Can't do anything with it. I can't communicate it, so forget it. So I don't go into trying to see Ion. Other than that one time he gave me an image, I said, okay, that's what it looks like. That's that. Because I was intrigued at how they knew what was going on in the room. And I said, so you're right here. They go, yeah. And I said, well, what would you look like if I could see you? They said, the face of Bo. And then I had to look it up. But I like hearing Ion. I'm hearing Ion all the time, you know, through the phone.
Mm.
But that's sort of within known stuff. People say, oh, yeah, that's JW. JW did that. JW made himself be over there and then be himself floating in the other part of the room. Come on. I'm like Dave Leverett. Come on. I want some more of that. Nobody goes, I want some more of that. They go, come on. Fuck that, Bob. As I was saying, I've lost more friends or so-called friends through this phenomenon than anybody did.
But having seen Iron Now, Bob, did it change your perspective?
I'm sure everything I do with Ion it changes me. Like, you know, every phase, everything we do with Ion. I am so fucking mutated now. I'm basically ascended now. I think the closest you could say is I'm ascended, but that's based on old standards. I'm going beyond being ascended. All the things I was surprised about or shocked by that Ion told me over the years, that's all normal thinking now. Of course I'm open now. Of course I've been here billions of years. Of course I caused this fucking seed. Of course I caused the earthquake. Of course Trump's doing me. Of course I decided to play Mae Brussels so that fucking Trump has to release the JFK file because I'm listening to Mae Brussels. I'm doing everything. A little backup from the missus. I've never called Carol the missus before, but it's inappropriate right now. I'm here with the missus.
You're here with the missus.
Do you realize, I always marvel how lucky Carol is. She's got to watch this fucking maniac for 40 fucking years. No, it's 50 years. Next weekend, I said to Carol yesterday, I said, Carol, this week, this October 29th, our anniversary, it'll now be 51 years. She goes, oh, yeah, that's right. It's no more, imagining and saying, we've been together 50 years. We're now into the next fucking 50 years. It's 51 years, baby.
Wow.
But she has watched this fucking Bob phenomenon for so long. Just think if you could be her brain. What she's witnessed.
Yeah.
I'm quite full of myself, aren't I?
Well,
no, but Bob, I think
you can do that.
You can do that.
You can do that, Bob.
Yeah, I'm allowed to be a megalomaniac.
Yeah, I don't think she would disapprove of what you said.
Yeah, she wouldn't disagree. No, like she, lucky she's a global saint. Keeps her distracted. Luckily, she's a global hero to everybody. Keeps her mind off of me.
Well, I think she'd be quite flattered that you still consider her as your missus, Joe Bob.
She should be flattered?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. What does that mean? Why? What the fuck? Why am I putting up with her? I mean, shit, man. What about all those young girls that Mr. Harvey had? I could have them, too. Bob, yeah, that's right. Yeah, wait. Why did I... Why do I be impressed with the missus?
You have a lot of things if you have those.
Bob, you wouldn't eat if she left you. So, I mean, you wouldn't get popcorn. I mean.
Oh, no. I've proven it. Through the years, JW, the sense of JW would get very concerned when Carol was going to go away for 2 or 3 weeks because he thought I'd die. And I said, I can fucking live, dude. I mean, I can do it. And I would do it. And he'd be totally flabbergasted that I survived. People think I'm really confident. Look, I just don't have to eat for 3 weeks. I can do that.
Bob, keep telling yourself that story, okay?
Listen, dude. I'm like Madame Velasquez. She said she smoked just so she could stay in the body. I act like a dumb shit so I could stay here, so I could be a marker of time and space.
That's funny.
Well... Glad I met up with that marker, that's for sure.
You're glad what?
I met up with that marker.
Right. Now, I'm getting a bit of an echo here. You're not getting an echo, are you?
No.
No.
Nope.
Okay, I guess it's because the volume was up. Okay, so do we do Don Thiel or do we stop in 35 minutes?
Oh,
what, everybody got to go home?
I do, Bob. At one.
Okay. How are you, Roxy?
I would say do it. I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rashi hates this babble about me. She wants to get back to work. She wants homework. Yeah. Give me the goddamn homework, yeah. Bob.
Yeah. We want new insights, Bob. We want the key to portaling and all those things.
Yeah, look, okay, you guys. You got a good session tonight. He kind of told you how to do it, all right?
Yes.
Yeah,
you're lucky.
Thanks.
He stayed around for years till he finally got to the... Yeah, thank you, Bob. Finally.
Okay, Bob, I've got something here. I was chatting with Michael the other night, and I said to him, you know, I'm seeing these white lights shimmering at the sides of my eyes. Do you think that might be sort of the portal, you know, it changes color every now and then? So he said to me a very interesting question. He said, have you noted how you're feeling or when it happens? Are you like really, really happy doing what you're doing, and all of a sudden these like white light things light up in the sides? This is the peripheral vision of my eyes. So I said, no, I don't know. I think it's maybe I'm just taking too many drops. So it'd be very interesting to find out whether or not that's the shimmering light that he spoke of.
Yes.
What that looks like. So I wonder if the Android meme has something of that. Or maybe a Twin Peaks is the reflection of what it should look like.
Well, start thinking it is the important thing. Because you got to start putting yourself
off,
into
though.
It. Just say, yep, there it is.
I think it's
no. It's what?
Butch E, Butch the electron, the floater.
Yeah, Butch the electron.
Some people see him as black, some people see him as white, some people see him as both as one.
Okay, we gotta get out. Okay, yeah, it's Butch the electron, and it's also your portaling. Okay, as I would say, you're already doing it. So, except stop fucking asking Michael, am I portaling?
Well,
yeah,
no, man, we weren't asking Michael if I was portaling, Bob. I was having a conversation about portaling, not whether or not I am. He doesn't know what the fuck's going on with me.
Have it your way. Have it your way. Okay. So okay. We only got half an hour, so let's see how much I can read. I don't know if I want to do it this fast, but have we got everybody's in? No echo. So here we go. So we've done, this is the Don Thiel article in Explorations number 2, came out in April 1954, and it is called Here Comes Everybody, page 66 of the issue. We've done page 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, should be 72, 73. And now we're into 74, 75, 76, and a little bit of 77. So we had done this whole thing about art in its work, Aquinas' principle that art in its work imitates nature. We did a lot of that in the last stuff. It'll be posted in proper order by Ed. So the next paragraph. James Joyce's realism is susceptible of analysis from the pragmatic and behavioristic points of view. So behaviorism, you know, Skinner, the Skinner box, that was a kind of psychology before the 60s, popular psychology. Wyndham Lewis used to write a novel or two satirizing the behavioristic scientific view of humans. Like you could say very materialistic view, stimulus and response, the Pavlov dog stuff. Joyce's realism is susceptible of analysis from the pragmatic and behavioristic points of view, but in action extends beyond any such static analysis. That would be like visual space analysis. Just like, remember, we're saying this is a description of Ion. Ion's realism is susceptible of analysis from the pragmatic and behavioristic points of view, but in action it extends beyond any such static analysis, the Ion perspective. That is why Ulysses, the novel Ulysses, can be classified as a realistic and intensely symbolic work. The mass communication media, in brackets particularly the press, and the form of the modern city provided Joyce, and the form of the modern city, so the mass communication media, particularly the newspaper, and the form of the modern city provided Joyce with epiphanies that are always rooted in the commonplace. In the commonplace, there's McLuhan's from cliché to archetype. The cliché, the commonplace. Finnegan's Wake is a treatment of this problem from another angle, not the angle of Ulysses. Joyce formed an epic, he's talking about Ulysses, I think here, no, see, Ulysses is an epic, McLuhan said that Finnegan's Wake is not an epic, it's a drama. But Thiel is saying, he's using the term epic here. He's young, he doesn't know the difference, or maybe he does. I don't know why he's saying it. Joyce formed an epic from the mass media. Now, that's pretty amazing to know he, in 1953, that he made this from the mass media environments. Joyce formed an epic from the mass media by knowing what to select and how to handle the selection in the internalization of conversation in the dreaming giant Finnegan. The dreaming giant is having an internal conversation and knowing how to relate that to the media world by selection. Throughout Finnegan's Wake run asides, that's like speaking to the side, such as, quote, here's an aside, if you're looking for the builder, deep your ear on the movie tone. So it's telling you, hey, you're looking at a movie here. You think it's a book, but if you are looking for the builder deep, or the deep builder, your ear on, no, if you're looking for the builder, deep your ear on the movie tone. Or describing the letter, the exegesis of which is a mode in miniature of the exegesis of Finnegan's Wake. Here's the description of the letter. This is an aside. This is Joyce telling you what's going on. This non-day diary, this all-night's newsery reel, or nursery reel. My dear sir, in this wireless age, any owl rooster can peck up Bostoons, meaning Boston, or describing the Dublin of the washerwomen. A phantom city faked of film folk. And phantom is spelled P-H, faked is spelled P-H, film is spelled P-H, and folk is P-H. Negative P-H.
May I say something?
This, yes.
Both George and Cocteau are recurring to these archetypes and to this to the dream.
Right.
At the end of the Orpheus film, Orpheus and Eurydice think all that happened was a dream, and in the Finnegan's Wake, everything is supposed to be like a dream.
But wait a minute. Many critics say it's a dream, but Joyce said in 1995 to me through the Evergreens, it's not a dream.
Yes, that's the thing, that at the end is not a dream.
Right, it's real.
It's real.
It's the media.
Yeah,
media
skate. That's the thing that both Joyce and Cocteau were referring as men as sleeping awake.
Yes.
Like, but at the end, this dream is not a dream. It's like,
right,
what is reality, what is not reality, and
it's a
where does
day.
The film ends, like with Cocteau? That was the film, and this is reality.
Right. He couldn't make the separation. So this non-day diary, this all-night newsery reel, my dear sir, in this wireless age, any old rooster or any owl rooster can pick up Boston, or, but it's spelled Bostoons, or describing the Dublin of the washerwomen. That's earlier in Chapter 8 of Book 1. It's a phantom city faked of film folk, and that's in quotes. This technique of the wake, says Don Thiel, is an attempt to merge the onslaught of a new oral tradition with a rich written tradition that is ultimately based on the oral tradition. In such a method, the great clue that Joyce discovered was the nature of language as a key to the labyrinth of human cognition. Now, that's McLuhan's insights written in 1953 that Don would have read a few months earlier before he wrote this essay. And he's just finishing up his Ph.D., just finishing up his Ph.D. with McLuhan and other people.
When the dead takes the people from this world, they actually are awake. They stand up.
Yeah.
And that's the wake of they're going to the other parallel world. But
awake.
Death is not what we think. It's like going somewhere else.
Right.
So this is this play with the word, the wake.
Okay. In such a method, The great clue that Joyce discovered was the nature of language as a key to the labyrinth of human cognition, which would include the labyrinth of whether you're awake or not. As much as indicated in The Wake, among opinions concerning the fall and its nature. So there's the fall. No, as much as indicated in The Wake among opinions concerning the fall and its nature, then it has a quote, Sylvia Silence, the girl detective, and she's also referred to as Meminerva or Minerva, the owl. Meminerva, but by now one hears turtlings all over Doveland. Doveland, take off on Dublin. Okay, Sylvia Silence, the girl detective, when supplied with information as to the several facets of the case in her cozy-dozy bachelor's flat, quite overlooking Jonna Dream's muse, M-E-W-S, she leaned back in her really, truly easy chair to query restfully through her vowel-threaded syllables. She says, and this would be like, I think it's a Donald Duck thing, have you ever thought Whippeter, reporter, but it's spelled W-E-P-O-W-T-E-W, Whippeter, reporter, that sheer greatness was his tragedy. It can't say the letter R. Have you ever thought, reporter, that sheer greatness was his tragedy? That's how it's written, finding its wake. So she's the great detective. She's being interviewed by the reporter in her cozy, dozy bachelor's flat, quite overlooking Jonna Dream's muse, leaning back in her really, truly easy chair to query restfully through her vowel-threaded syllables. That has something to do with the fall, this whole Sylvia Silence girl detective thing. Okay. So she's saying, have you ever thought, reporter, that sheer greatness was a tragedy? I guess we're all subject to the fall. So no matter how great we become, we're still jerks. Have you ever thought, reporter, that sheer greatness was his tragedy? Now, that's called hamartia. Your tragic flaw is what you're good at turns out to be your tragic flaw. So then, Don Thiel says, the term detective, in quotes detective, suggests the method for retracing the labyrinth of vowel-threaded syllables. The musical motif is indicative of the manner in which the wake is constructed. It is a work of Meminerva, memory, the time binder, and nerves, instantaneous sensual response leading to spatial reconstruction. I guess that refers to nerves and instantaneous sensual response leading to spatial reconstruction. Fused in Minerva, the figure of mental arts and wisdom, Minerva the owl. Typical of the encyclopedic method of Finnegan's Wake are the correlations between the two main figures, H.C.E. and his wife, A.L.P. As Marshall McLuhan writes, quote, so he would just read this a few months because this is written in late 53, and McLuhan published these essays earlier in 53. So Don says, as my great teacher, Marshall McLuhan writes, quote, she just says, as Marshall McLuhan writes, quote, H.C.E. is mountain, male, and active. ALP is river, female and passive. But ALP elp equals mountain, and historically the letter H is interfused with the letter A, and A is both ox face and plow, first of arts and letters, so that dramatically the roles of HCE and ALP are often interchangeable. Everybody point that out about cliche archetype. Any dialectic McLuhan sets up, they start to interpenetrate. One could go on to suggest that ALP, for example, is both mountain and molehill. For the ALP in Irish is also a small salamander-like creature, and HCE is an old par, that's mentioned on the first page, who is a drinker of scotch, a young salmon, and an old man all at once. Drinker of scotch, a young salmon, and an old man. So he's a fish, too. Not only is the structure of the letters themselves employed as gestures, intermixed with verbal play, but the love chase of HCE after ALP is presented in the cinematic terms of a Sonya Heine ice carnival. She was a famous, 30s or 40s figure skater, I think. In the cinematic terms of a Sonya Heine ice carnival with a maximum of metamorphosis, the love chase is presented in the cinematic terms of a Sonya Heine ice carnival with a maximum metamorphosis. The tendency of criticism, So now he's talking about Joyce critics, those that say it's a dream or this or that. You kind of label it something. That's called univocity or univocal approach, not multivocal. The tendency of criticism, accustomed to the flat perspectives of univocity, has been, their tendency has been to emphasize one aspect of the work. It is described as a book for the ear, a book of wordplay, a book of metamorphoses, a great work of landscape art, a great work of landscape art, etc. These forms, however, are all adapted to previous modes of communication. While the Wake is adapted to overlayings, while the Wake is adapted to overlayerings within the self that are characteristic of modern culture. I would add the overlayerings of the five bodies that make up the self. So he's trying to, trying to show, look.
The ionic overlay.
Yes. Yes, the ionic overlay. So to say it's a wordplay, a book of metamorphoses, that's limited to the former modes of communication, the Gutenberg Galaxy modes of communication. But The Wake is a book adapting to all the aspects of electronic culture. Phineas Wake works simultaneously through a series of dialectical oppositions in existence. So these dialectical oppositions, remember Coker's doing the dialectical, digital dialectics. Well, this is analog media dialectics. The Wake works simultaneously through a series of dialectical oppositions in existence and their communal participation in all forms of existence. So there's dialectical oppositions and then communal participation in all forms of existence. The brothers, Shem and Sean, are opposites yet components of all human experience. In the inquest of Yon, that's Sean asleep. Sean then ends up channeling HCE, his father. In the inquest of Yon, or Sean asleep, by the four old men, the inquiries regarding the brother Shem always return to a confusion of the two. Anagrams are used as a technical device to point up the conflict and reconciliation that the two brothers represent. The conflict and reconciliation. The questioner at one point states, quote, Hood maketh not frere. The voice is the voice of Jokup, J-O-K-E-U-P, or Jacob, I fear. The voice is the voice of Jokup, I fear. Are you imitation Roma now or Amor now? Roma becomes Amor. So reading that again, anagrams are used as a technical device to point up the conflict and reconciliation that the two brothers represent. The questioner at one point states, quote, Hood maketh not frere, or French for brother. The voice is the voice of Jokup, I fear. Are you imitation Roma now or Amor now? End of quote. Under Inquisition, Sean is gradually becoming Shen, who is, quote, my Shem Blabel, my fear, my freer, my Shem Blabel, my freer. I think we talked about last time that's Baudelaire's envoy or preface to the reader, and he calls the reader my hypocrite lector, my Shem Blabel, my freer. Okay, so Sean is, under Inquisition, Sean is gradually becoming Shem. For both are aspects of HCE, or here comes everybody. Shem is the I and Sean the me. Joyce, James Joyce, in spite of the similarities with Shem, openly associates himself with HCE in the same section. Quote, speak to the right, rotisis kakani. He can never be bothered, but man e'er be waked. But man ever be waked. If there is a future in every past, there's Ion. If there is a future in every past that is present, then he has a French question. Qui est qui non novit Quinigan? And qui qui note, and qui qui quote at Quinigan's quake? Okay, so reading that again. If there is a future in every past that is present, qui est, maybe it's who is qui non novit Quinigan? And qui, qui, quote, at Quinigan's quake. And then continuing the quote from Finnegan's Wake, Stump, his producers, are they not his consumers? That was one of McLuhan's favorite quotes from Finnegan's Wake. His producers, are they not his consumers? Remember, he was in a bar once in a restaurant, and people said, who's writing this book? Or you're writing this book. He says, no, no, all these people. And he has his hand tan over the people in the restaurant. He says, all these people are writing my book. His producers, are they not his consumers? Your examination round is factification for incantation of a warping process. The Claim. Now, that's the name of the 1929 book that Joyce organized, a bunch of friends, professors, scholars, intellectuals wrote. I don't know how many essays, every copy out in the garage, 12 essays, interpreting Finnings Wake, which wasn't called Finnings Wake at that point. It was just called Work in Progress. So it was called Your examination round his factification for incamination of a warping process. That's almost the exact title of that 1929 book. And then he says, declaim. What does that mean? Does that mean to claim, to declare? I don't know. Declaim. Going to have to look that up. So here's what the actual title is, because then Don Thiel says, the reference to...
Declamare in Latin means to recite.
No, what did you say?
Declamare means to recite.
Declamare.
So from declaim.
Oh, to declaim. To declaim. Let's just tell Bill, yes, ending this hour. Oh, there's Aikido. Good show, Bob. It's like, you know, someone from the future or from the past, you know. Good show, Bob. Even Love Jobs is still listening. Good stuff, Bob. Nicholas, I'm blocked. Oh, look, okay, we got to bring Nicholas back in. Oh, you're not blocked. You're okay.
That was earlier.
All right.
Bob, that was earlier.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. So, Theo says, the reference to, and gives the title of the 1929 book, our examination round his factification for incanimation of work in progress. Whereas in Finnegan's Wake, it's of a warping process, W-A-R-P-I-N-G. And then it says in brackets, a title Joyce provided for a volume of studies on Finnegan's Wake by the Transition Group. Transition was a journal at that time, who later McLuhan put down the people in Transition. They didn't have a clue what Joyce was doing, McLuhan claimed. So anyways, a lot of his friends, Joyce's friends, wrote for Transition. The reference to this thing, this title, relates Joyce to H.C.E., the everyman of his drama. Not here comes everybody, not the everybody, but the everyman, plural. This passage not only satirizes the efforts of the night-minded Transition Group, so Theo is saying, probably under the influence of McLuhan, that McLuhan is right, Joyce is making fun of the Transition Group. This passage not only satirizes the efforts of the night-minded Transition Group to comprehend the wake, but provides, so night mind, that means they think it's a dream, I guess. It's focusing too much on that. This passage not only satirizes the efforts of the night-minded Transition Group to comprehend the wake, but provides an important clue to Joyce's communication process. Quote, his producers, are they not his consumers? That important statement. Theo says, at one level, it suggests that the Transition writers provide Joyce with his material as well as consuming it. But at a deeper level, it suggests that the communication networks of society, or the media, filter to the artist his material. And at the same time, he produces artifacts for the communication networks of a society. So the media shapes the artist, and the artist gives products back to shape the media. Sergei,
the environment. Like, Ian explains that goes further, that it goes into affecting everything.
Yes. The people make the environment. The people will determine whether the JFK files will be released or not. Who are the people? 7 billion whack jobs ignoring knowledge and emphatically sending cat pictures to each other. They will make the final decision. All right. Sergei Eisenstein, who was a famous Russian filmmaker and a theoretician that Joyce knew and read, Sergei Eisenstein recognized in Finnegan's Wake, quote, the limit in reconstructing the reflection and refraction of reality in the consciousness and feelings of man. So Eisenstein recognized that there is a limit in reconstructing the reflection and refraction of reality in the consciousness and feelings of man, probably because there's always this media doing that, which Joyce achieved by, quote, from Eisenstein, a special dual-level method of writing, unfolding the display of events simultaneously with the particular manner in which those events pass through the consciousness and feelings, the associations and emotions of one of his chief characters. Reading that again. Which Joyce achieved, so the reconstructing, the limited reconstruction of the reflection and refraction of reality in the consciousness and feelings of man, that Joyce achieved that by, quote, a special dual-level method of writing, unfolding, and that is, the unfolding, unfolding the display of events simultaneously with the particular manner in which those events pass through the consciousness of feelings, the associations and emotions of one of his chief characters. So they show the events and show the medium that the events are in. I think that's what it means. Unfolding the display of events simultaneously with the particular manner in which those events pass through the consciousness. That's Eisenstein.
Yes, this thing with the Kennedy, it's like in Greece they thought that the tragedy was a way to heal society with the catharsis.
Right.
Experience. And Kennedy is like the new god, the new hero, and it's like the society needs to know what happened and this revelation.
And it's always prevented. It's been prevented and frustrated.
Yeah, it's really like a mythical archetype in modern times.
Well, Coker wrote years ago about how it was the first postmodern myth. Because nobody really knew who Kennedy was, he was way different from what people thought. They didn't know he murdered Marilyn Monroe. He was a TV image appropriate to TV, but had nothing to do with his chemical body. And Ian says he committed suicide. So definitely he's the first TV icon, which had nothing to do with the chemical body. Just like Harvey Weinstein is a TV icon. What is he like personally? That's for you to find out. Okay. So when Eisenstein suggested that, quote, the price paid is the entire dissolution of the very foundation of literary diction, the entire decomposition of the literary method itself. So Eisenstein understood that Joyce was making a book that was no longer based on book values, book archetypes. It was a movie. He probably could just see it as a movie thing. He probably couldn't see it as a TV extension. But Eisenstein and the non-literary guys, the guys who weren't just authors. Most of the Joyce scholarship go into the writing aspect. They don't see that it's a movie, but the directors, the other media guys, see that in Finnegan's Wake, at least the smarter ones of them. So he says, this is a price we're paying. This book is a result of what modern media has done to people. So Thiel says, when Eisenstein says that, Eisenstein failed to grasp Joyce's complex use of the oral and visual, as well as the verbal aspects of language. Joyce is not trying to approximate a cinematic form in literature. See, so many people say, Don says, this is not a movie. Joyce was attempting to bring the standard of craftsmanship in written and oral composition to the level where it can transfer values and insights from the mass media into literature. So Joyce said, we have to write a new way if we're going to transfer our media experiences into books. So Eisenstein thought it was the collapse of books, but Thiel's saying no. Joyce had solved how you write about this stuff. It looks like the collapse of the book, but he actually retrieved the book and made it relevant. But you got to learn how to see that.
It cannot be a linear story.
Right.
It has to be this complex.
That's right. And so this is a good point by the young Don Thiel to see that. The critical problem is accentuated by the emphasis that Eisenstein places on a, quote, inner speech, which, while inalienable from that which is enriched by sensual thinking, is divorced from the oral and written tradition of language. So that's what Eisenstein mistakenly sees. He thinks it's just the inner dialogue. What Joyce saw, however, says Don Thiel, was the sensual character of the very forms of writing, apparent to a manuscript culture, and the very forms of vocal expression, which form networks in themselves. The word in Joyce is not inner. It is both printed and spoken. Finnegan's Wake imprints its meaning on the memory of the reader just as its rhythm affects his ear, his bloodstream, and his emotions. So that's pretty complex, but the critical problem is accentuated by the emphasis that Eisenstein places on inner speech, which is not what the, it's not the stream of consciousness of Ulysses, which while inalienable, not, I guess that means, what does that mean? Not alienated from that which is enriched by sensual thinking, while inalienably from that which is enriched by sensual thinking, is divorced from the oral written tradition of language. That's what Theo's saying. No, this is not divorced from the oral written tradition. What Joyce saw, however, was the sensual character of the very forms of writing and vocal expression which form networks in themselves, especially in the, you know, in the way back in the manuscript phase. The word in Joyce is not inner. Now, that's Ionic. The word is not inner. It is a powerful interaction world maker. It's not just your thoughts. Literate man gets stuck in his thoughts. The word in Joyce is not inner. It is both printed and spoken. The wake imprints its meaning on the memory of the reader just as its rhythm affects his ear, his bloodstream, and his emotions. So one more paragraph. Let's see if I can finish this. James Joyce continues the neoclassical tradition of wit in his attempt to portray the soul's groupography. The groupography, the group picture of the souls, that phrase comes up at the beginning of the essay. And he does it in a comic mode. The effect aimed at is the inclusion and participation of the individual in the work as a whole, an effect that Alexander Pope and Ben Jonson had attempted. Joyce has the advantage of a more complex language enriched by a greater variety of art forms. But his problem was common with Pope's and Ben Jonson, with theirs. It was to steer a mean between the extremes of romanticism or enthusiasm and rationalism. It has hardly been noticed that Joyce shares their interest in unity, Pope and Jonson's interest. His works confine themselves to moments of time and points of space. They deal with everyday occurrences and present a comic view of mental activity. When Joyce appears during the inquest of Jan, during the seance, so Joyce comes into it, he divulges the roots of his communionistic technique. There's your phatic communion. He divulges the roots of his communionistic, that's a word from Finnegan's Wake, technique. Then it says, it is the hand touch. Now, that was at the beginning of the essay. So Don's going back to that key quote about the hand touch. It's like tactility. It is the hand touch of, quote, Big Master Finnegan of the stuttering hand. H.C.E. stuttered. For the stutter of H.C.E. breaks the flow of ALP and begins the transference of information. Each medium breaks up the flow of the previous media mixture. Just as the Zeroic couplet, which is based on Alexander Pope's, I think, heroic couplet, or maybe even Pope called it the Zeroic couplet, but I think that's a pun. Just as the Zeroic couplet broke the flow of Renaissance lyricism to charge language with meaning. So reading that again, it is the hand touch, the tactility of Big Meister Finnegan of the stuttering hand, for that's the root of the communistic technique. For the stutter of H.E. breaks the flow of ALP and begins the transference of information, just as the Zeroic couplet broke the flow of Renaissance lyricism to charge language with meaning. Joyce's work shows an increased sensitivity to written language, which has been partially reduced back to a flux. His techniques of arresting eye and ear are an attempt to push the dynamic model in the arts to a point where a more complete participation on the part of the producer, consumer, reader is possible. Though dealing with the magic lantern world, he is attempting the careful and precise analysis of vivisection. The movement of the wake is towards day, quote, my coming forth from darkness, unquote, accomplished through the gift of language. And then there's a quote from Finnegan's Wake, be thy mouth given unto thee. For why do you lack a link of luck to poise a pont of perfect peace? End of quote. The satire implicit in the title of Finney's Wake is a key to the resolution of the work. For Joyce's favorite phrase was, quote, wait till Finnegan wakes. And that's Ion, right? Wait till Ion wakes. So, we don't have much time, so maybe we'll go over, we'll do a little bit more about that. But there's the exciting climax to an amazing essay. That the woman who buried James Joyce in Switzerland, in Zurich, wrote McLuhan, said that article is the best interpretation of the wake I've ever come across. And her husband, Siegfried Gideon, was a big influence of McLuhan in the early 40s with his book, Space, Time, and Architecture. And then later, mechanization takes command. So there's the network. And even this Gideon guy becomes part of the explorations group in Toronto. So it's always the same five people, OpenL and whoever he picks up, four other people. It's always the big five. You can look at my diary. Look at what was going on in Dartmouth, the five high school students.
Barry, sweetheart.